Well, I've seen many amazing things on the stage here at Camp Greystone over the years, but to see Mary Carolyn take down two donuts and show Jim Boy up last night was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. A thing of beauty, a joy forever. Correct. Well, we've been spending our time in these morning assemblies getting back to the heart of Christianity, haven't we? And we've been saying that the heart of Christianity is really God's faithful promises to us. As a faithful promiser, He gives us these precious promises of grace. And so we're trying to mine the Scriptures morning after morning to dig out and to treasure up these precious promises of God so that we can know Him better, so we can know His promises better, so we can pray His promises and say, Lord, remember Your promises. Remember who You promised to be and be that for us. So we can share His promises, so we can stand upon His promises, so we can live out His promises in this world that is so needy of grace. Well, the past couple times we've been together, we've seen that God promises us remembering grace, that He's engraved us on the palms of His hands, that He will not forget us, that He will not forsake us, that He treats us as a loving Heavenly Father who knows our needs before we ask Him. And yesterday we saw that God promises not just remembering grace, but sustaining grace. That He says, do not fear, for I'm with you. He says, I'm your God. Don't anxiously look about you. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. He says, I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. And we said that the essence of Christianity is not our grip on God, but God's grip on us. And His grip never lets us go. We just sang that beautiful song this morning, that God's love will never let us go. Well, this morning I want to direct us to another promise of God, this time from the New Testament, from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And it gives us a new promise for a new day. And it says this, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He'll also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I read a story not too long ago by a man who wrote a book called Bad Cop. The man's name was Paul Bacon. He is Officer Bacon. You can imagine the jokes that would come with that. And he works in New York City as one of New York City's finest, a member of the New York City Police Department. In his regular shift, he'd go to work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and get off at midnight, so 4 to 12. One night, they asked him to stay on for another shift beyond that 4 to 12 kind of graveyard shift. And so he was in a different precinct, and he was supposed to be manning this security booth that was sort of in a different area of town. He'd never been there before. He didn't know any officers. He was just kind of showing up to fill in a shift as a favor for somebody. So he was working. He'd already worked this 8 hours until 12 midnight. His usual custom was to go home and sleep and then wake up and go to work the next day. But he had to work another shift all through the night. Well, at 2 a.m., his partner, he and his partner were kind of manning the security booth. His partner took his lunch break and went and took a nap and came back right on time, 3 a.m., and it was Paul Bacon's turn to go and take his own break. And he thought, I am just exhausted. He's yawning his head off. He's wondering how I'm going to make it through this whole shift. He says, I'm going to go and I'm going to take my own nap. So he takes his police cruiser and he pulls into this parking lot that's just 60 feet from the security booth that he is manning with this other officer, his companion. And he's sitting in the front seat of the car and he turns off the ignition and he takes his radio off and puts it in the front seat with him and he lays the keys there and he's trying to fall asleep in the front seat of the car and you know, that's just impossible. So he has a bright idea. He says, there is a long, wide, comfortable back seat to this police cruiser. Why don't I just go stretch out in the back seat? I'll set my watch alarm, and at 3:55 I'll wake up and I'll walk those 60 feet back to the security booth and I'll relieve my companion and it'll be okay. So he stretches out into the back of the seat, he closes the door behind him, and he falls quickly asleep. Well, after about 50 minutes of sleeping, he wakes up before his alarm with this haunting realization that he is in the back seat of a police car. Which, if you know anything about the backseat of a police car, is the door handles don't work. You can't get out. It is a rolling jail cell, right? And it's sealed so that there's not a lot of oxygen to get in there. He wakes up, it is completely dark. The windows are all fogged up, and he has no way out. He has locked himself into the back of his own police car. He's in a bad spot, right? 60 feet away is someone that can help him, but he can't even get the guy's attention because he doesn't have his radio, which he left in the front seat. And he doesn't have the keys, which are in the front seat. And so he is absolutely stuck. He pulls the door handles just to make sure nothing happens. He bloodies his knuckles, banging on the door, trying in vain to get the man's attention 60 feet away from him. He lifts up his feet and starts to beat as hard as he can against the doors, and he is stuck. He cannot get out. There is no way out. And so, because the windows are all fogged up, he's thinking, maybe if I write help in the steam of the window, someone will come over and see that I'm stuck in the back of the police car. So he writes help on the back of it, and he's just waiting there. He's completely frantic. He has no idea what to do. And this Pepsi delivery truck pulls up right next to his car. And the guy sees the word help, and he's banging on the windows from the inside trying to get this guy's attention. And the Pepsi guy's looking in. All he needs to do is just to lift the door handle, and Paul would be freed. And at that point, the Pepsi man walks away. Because who lets out a screaming maniac from the back of a police car, right? No one does that. You don't want to do that. So he is stuck and says, well, maybe I need to write onto my message, help, I'm a cop. So he wrote, help, I'm a cop on the back of his police cruiser. He's just stuck there, absolutely stuck. There is no way out. Man, how humiliating that would be. Well, this passage before us this morning tells us that some of us get ourselves into situations in which we feel stuck. There's no way out. You feel stuck in your group of friends at home. They're living a certain way, and you're living a certain way right there with them, and you feel like there's no way out. Well, perhaps at home you want to live out your Christian faith. You want to take the warmth and the depth and the intimacy you have of God's love at Greystone back home, and you feel like there's no fellowship. There are no Christian friends. There's no youth group. There's no teaching. There's no pastor. There's no way out for me there. Some of you feel locked into long hours of schoolwork. You spend almost 12 hours a day at school doing sports, commitments, extracurriculars, academics, all that. And you feel like, I just want some breathing room. I just want a way out of that. Some of us feel stuck in certain patterns of life and sins and and temptations that we just can't avoid. And we feel like we're so stuck. Well, take us back to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 this morning. And it tells us several things. It tells us that the temptations that you face, that I face, that we all face, are not unique. They're not new. They're not special. They're not harder than anyone else's. In fact, it says, no temptation is overtaking you that isn't common to everyone. We all face the same temptations. Then it also tells us that God is faithful, that He knows the temptations you face. He knows the stuckness you feel. He knows that you feel like there's no way out. He remembers, He knows, He's faithful. And then it also tells us that, that God is not letting you be tempted beyond what you can handle. In other words, He's not letting temptations into your life to overtake you. Here's the deal. You will never wake up any day of your life and not be tempted to walk away from God in a million different ways. The moment of maybe, the moment of should I indulge, should I take the temptation, will never go away. But here's the deal. God makes a promise to us. He says, I will never tempt you beyond what you're able, and I will always provide a way of escape. I'll always provide a way out. The promise of God for us this morning is delivering grace. Grace that makes a way when it seems like there is no way. Grace that says you're not stuck. You're not resigned to failure. Temptations will always come, but you don't have to let them overtake you. God promises a way out. Martin Luther, a German monk back in the 1500s, he said, I can't stop birds from flying over my head, but I can stop them from building a nest in my hair. In other words, you will always face temptations, but there's always a way to prevent that temptation from nesting and digging in and taking root in your life. God always provides a way of escape. Well, after 25 minutes, Paul Bacon's in the back of his car. His knuckles are bloodied. His feet are sore from kicking the door. His message for help, I'm a cop, has been unheeded. He lays down on the seat, just humiliated, completely defeated, and a thought strikes him. Oh, yeah, I've got that cell phone they gave me that I never used as a cop. And he had to make the most humiliating call of his life. As a police officer, locked in the back of his own car by his own choice, he had to call 911 and say, "I'm in trouble. I locked myself in the back of my police car." And so he asked them, "Don't make it an emergency call. Don't let anyone know. Just send someone over and help me out." And the lady on the other end of the phone said, "I promise, we'll code it the right way." As soon as he ended the call, he heard sirens, and he heard flashing. He saw flashing lights coming his way. He saw his own companion come out of the toll booth, or the security booth. And what happened is they coded it as if an officer was down, an officer's in trouble. So they woke up every single police officer in the whole precinct. They all come and lift the door handle, and he has to walk out humiliated, humbled, awkward, but free. He wasn't stuck anymore. Perhaps the wave of escape that God provides for you today, right before your eyes, is having to make the most humiliating, humble, awkward, honest call of saying, "Lord, I cannot help myself. Deliver me by your grace. Give me that delivering grace that gives me a way out when there is no way out." The question is, will you look for that way today? Will you open your eyes to the help that's right in front of your face? Will you lay hold of God's promise of delivering grace? Grace that makes a way when there is no way. God's promise for us this morning is this: delivering grace. He makes a way of escape. Let me pray for us to that end this morning. Lord, we thank you that even though we get ourselves stuck by our foolishness and our giving in to temptation, and choices we make that seem good at the time, yet bind us in so many different ways, You don't laugh at us. You don't turn your back on us. You aren't disgusted with us, Lord, but you move toward us with delivering grace. Lord, help us to see it. Help us to lay hold of it. Lord, help us to treasure it up and live it out. We pray it in your name. Amen.